welcome back to another episode of the S3 podcast, episode 42, Israel, Palestine, and UK ban LGBTQ conversion therapy. Before I get started, I'd like to say to follow us on Instagram at S3podcast_. You can also follow me on there as well at S3S3Productions, if you would like to, of course. Also, subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and your other chosen platform. So, without further ado, let's get right into it. In the worst flare-up, violence in 7 years, Israel launched airstrikes, and Palestinian militants launched hundreds of missiles overnight into Wednesday, killing more than 50 people and injuring hundreds. More amid rising fears, the conflict could spiral into all-out war. What started as a week of tense clashes in Jerusalem has escalated into violent unrest on the streets of Arab Israeli towns, as well as a deadly aerial conflict. More than 1,000 rockets lit up the skies of Israeli cities, while at least 2 high-rise buildings were levelled in the Israeli bombardment of the blockade and impoverished Gaza Strip, home to 2 million Palestinians. At least 53 people, including 14 children, were killed in the Israeli bombardment, according to the Gaza Health Ministry. Bassem Issa, the commander for Gaza City, was also among the dead. Hamas military wing, the Al-Qassam Brigades, confirmed Staff Sergeant Omar Tabib of the Israel Defense Forces was also killed. 5 Israelis were killed in the coastal cities of Ashkelon and Rishon LeZion, and in the city of Lod, southeast of Tel Aviv. Officials said in total more than 200 people have been wounded in Israel, while there have been more than 300 Palestinians injured, according to authorities on both sides. It is the most intense exchange of fire since the 2014 war in Gaza. Both sides appear to be preparing for more violence. We're escalating towards a full-scale war. Tor Ben Nasland, the United Nations Special Coordinator for the Middle East Peace Process, said in a tweet, "Stop the fire immediately." US State Department spokesman Ned Price told a briefing Tuesday, "Israel has the right to defend itself, and the Palestinian people also have the right to safety and security just as Israelis do. The United States is speaking with both sides to urge calm, de-escalation and restraint on both sides," he said. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas received a letter from President Joe Biden on Tuesday regarding the conflict. According to the official Palestinian news agency, WAFA, Israeli security forces must exercise maximum restraint and calibrate their use of force. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres said in a statement, "The indiscriminate launching of rockets and mortars towards Israeli population centres is unacceptable." The conflict spilled over into the streets in Israel. Jewish and Arab Israelis could be seen fighting in cities such as Lod, where thousands of Arabs joined a funeral for a man allegedly killed by a Jewish gunman the previous night. The crowd clashed with police, set alight a synagogue, as well as around 30 vehicles, including a police car, the Associated Press reported. In neighbouring Ramleh, ultra-nationalist Jewish demonstrators were filmed attacking cars belonging to Arabs, the AP said, while in the northern port town of Acre, protesters torched a Jewish-owned restaurant and hotel. Police said they arrested more than 150 people involved in disturbances and riots overnight in northern and central Israel. The current hostilities have their roots in East Jerusalem, which has some of the holiest sites in Islam, Judaism and Christianity. The city is claimed by both Israel and the Palestinians as their capital. Tensions that had been simmering during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan flared up over the past week as Israeli police used stun grenades and rubber-coated bullets against worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, an important holy site for Muslims and Jews. Israeli officials said this was in response to rocks thrown at their forces and toward the Western Wall, where thousands of Jews had gathered to pray. A spokesperson for the mosque said the clashes began when police tried to evacuate the compound, where many Palestinian worshippers sleep during Ramadan, to allow Israelis in. The unrest has been fueled further by plans to evict Palestinian families from a neighborhood in East Jerusalem, whose land is claimed by Jewish settlers, and that is home to the tomb of an ancient Jewish high priest. The Al-Aqsa clashes saw Hamas, the militant group that governs the Gaza Strip, set a deadline for Israel to withdraw its security forces. By Wednesday morning, some 1,050 rockets had been fired from Gaza toward Israel. The Israeli Defense Forces said between 85 and 90% were intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome defense system, officials said, but scores made it through. The non-stop barrage left long streaks of white smoke in the air in their wake, while the explosions of anti-rocket interceptors boomed overhead. I called my husband to go to the shelter after a few minutes at 3 a.m. There was a second siren and then I felt a boom, said Amar Sassana, 73, whose neighbour's house was hit by a rocket in Yehud near Tel Aviv. It felt like my house had collapsed, she said. We smelled a burning smell, we went outside and it was foggy, and we saw that the family's house was hit. They were in their shelter. The Israeli military responded by launching the bombardment of Gaza, the tiny impoverished enclave that is blockaded to the north and east by Israel and to the south by Egypt. The booms of Israeli airstrikes and hisses of outgoing rocket fire could be heard in Gaza throughout Tuesday, and large plumes of smoke rose into the air. We are conducting significant strikes against military targets belonging to Hamas, the Islamic Jihad, military spokesman Jonathan Conricus told NBC News in an interview, and our plans are to continue with those attacks and to enhance when necessary. He said a ceasefire was currently not on the table. The end of the conflict, he said, would depend on how well and how fast they get the message, referring to Hamas, and how well they understand that it will be in their best interest to stop firing at Israeli civilians. This whole situation in Israel, Palestine, and what's going on in Russia is absolutely awful. And you know, when you have both sides fighting, you know, like they are at this current time, you know, they're firing rockets, and you know, everyone's like, you know, losing their homes in the process. It's just an awful time. And you know, to anyone out there, you know, to Israelis and Palestinian people, all my heart and you know go out to you. You know, it's just you just don't need this. You know, I truly hope that this gets sorted. This gets to both sides can come to a peaceful, you know, agreement, and it can just end, because otherwise I can just see it getting worse and worse until, you know, they have either exhausted, you know, their avenue, or there's no one left. And especially with Israel and Palestine, who they're peaceful people, really, you know, they just want peace. But until certain members of the government can come to a peaceful agreement, I just feel sorry for, not just for Israel, but also for Palestine, for Palestinians. I just feel sorry for them. And I also feel sorry for people in Russia as well. It's just an awful time. And, you know, to think things couldn't get worse, you know. I mean, we've obviously got the pandemic currently going on as well, with the vaccines and all of that, right, which is a headache in itself. But to have this as well, and for like a war to essentially break out between two peaceful countries, it's just awful. But I hope they come to some sort of agreement and can move on. But one final, this one is just going to be a brief one, a brief episode today. We will be back to our normal length going forward. Britain will move to ban conversion therapy and provide more support to those in the LGBTQ+ community who have undergone the treatment as part of its post-pandemic government agenda. Prime Minister Boris Johnson's government said measures would be brought forward to prevent those abhorrent practices which can cause mental and physical harm, starting with a consultation on how best to protect people and how to eliminate coercive practices. Johnson's party has come under increasing pressure on the issue after former leader Theresa May vowed in 2018 to eradicate a procedure that aims to change or suppress someone's sexual orientation or gender identity. However, some faith leaders had argued that a wide ban could implicate those who suffer pastoral support, including prayer. Setting out the new parliamentary agenda in a briefing document alongside the Queen's speech, the government said, "We will ensure medical professionals, religious leaders, teachers and parents can continue to be able to have open and honest conversations with people." A 2017 national LGBTQ survey found that 5% of those who responded reported being ordered and 2% reported having undergone conversion therapy. In more than half of the cases, the therapy was offered or conducted by faith organisations. We need it. You know, LGBTQ+ people need more support and we need more services, you know, especially to those who have undergone therapy or haven't. We need support and services. But as I say, this is just a shorter episode today. The normal length will resume, you know, from going forward. So yeah. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, wherever you are. Stay safe. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at S3Podcast_. Also, follow me if you would like to. S3 Productions. And until the next time, see you.